Welcome back to another episode of the Cosmic Circle, the official podcast of this cosmic circus, where we discuss all things nerdy. And on today's episode, we're going to discuss the entirety of the Incredible Max series, The Penguin. My name is Anthony Flagg. I'm one of the writers of the Cosmic Circus. And today I have two wonderful gentlemen joining me. I have Vic and Vin. Try saying that five times fast. Hey, guys, how are we doing?
Doing great, man.
Hello, hello. Doing as fine as I can.
Yes, sir. So, at this point, everybody's at least seen the show. I'm going to warn you now, though, if you haven't, we're going to spoil it in its entirety. So there's your warning. Turn back now if you have to, but we're going to get right into it. So we're going to start with this. How awesome was it to finally go back and spend time in Matt Reeves' universe of Batman? You know, the movie came out in March 2022. So it's been a couple years. We were supposed to have the movie sequel a little bit closer, but the strikes and life impacted things, so it's gonna be a while until we wait for that sequel. But what a relief it was to go back into this wonderful universe.
It was very good because Batman is one of the best projects about the Dark Knight that happened in the last 30 years. I'm gonna say it because I know people love Batman trilogy from Christopher Nolan. I know some people like, just as me, the Batman version of that Ben Affleck played from Zack Snyder. And 30 years ago, Michael Keaton took this role on, and it is a classic. And now Robert Pattinson took on the cowl, and he did something that not many people expected him to do, and it's taking this character to another level. And thanks to Matt Reeves, we've got a very good portrayal of Batman, very good design of Gotham, very good characterization of the whole city, of its nature, of the people who live in it, and of its politics. And going back to this world is like, you know, you're going to a party, you meet these people, and then you go to another party and there are still some people there, but those people that are there are the best people from this previous party. And you just, you know, you feel like in heaven because you know these people, you love them, and you just want to explore more.
I like that analogy a lot.
It's a crazy analogy, but it works. I'll be honest. I liked the Batman a lot, but it wasn't, I think it tried to do things that Tim Burton did. It tried to do things that Christopher Nolan did. And I felt it was like, you know, some kind of medium between the two, maybe not the best of either, but somehow it combined the two, and I liked that. But what I really loved about the Penguin is it showed us a different side of Penguin that was totally unique. Because when you look at Pattinson's Batman, like, it feels like Batman, but it feels also a little bit familiar to other versions of Batman. Penguin, we don't have that many versions of Penguin to compare to. And this Penguin is so different from anything we've ever seen, right? If you look at, like, Batman 66, if you look at Danny DeVito, even if you look at animation, there's no Penguin like this, really. So right. I was so happy that we got the series with him, and we have such a deeper understanding of who he is now, right? So I thought it was it's weird because it's like nobody wanted a Penguin show, but once you get it, you're like, I'm so glad we got it, right?
Yeah. One thing I liked about the Batman is that it really focused on one of my favorite aspects of him, is that he is the world's greatest detective. It put him in a position where he had to go and do a lot of work and discover things. So knowing how Reeves handled that, and when they said, okay, now he's going to do a crime show with the Penguin in the lead, and after how awesome Colin Farrell was in the movie, I was fully on board. I do remember, though, when the first trailer came out, I was like, I have no idea what this is about. I'm pretty bored, and you will not catch my attention. I've seen the screenshots. They exist. But then you start seeing how they started filling out the cast with other people that have been in Sopranos and other very serious shows. Like, my God, I was at work the other day, and I was talking about the Penguin because I was like, yeah, I'm going to watch the final episode tonight. And they're like, someone said to me, they're like, hey, isn't that basically like a comic book version of the Sopranos? And I'm like, why, yes, it is. And that is a really good compliment in its own way. I think they even got a couple of actors that were in The Sopranos in this show to like really double down on that connection. But, you know, HBO has always been really good about these TV shows, about taking them there. So I think another big boon to the series was that it was rated TV mature. They were able to do things that definitely would have never happened in that movie, and they fleshed it out. I mean, I'm thinking of like the scenes with Sophia in the prison. Those were scary as hell. And some of the other moments with Oz being tortured, what Oz did to Maroney's wife and his son, just stuff like that. It's weird, feels weird to say, but I'm really glad we got to see that and see that interpretation, because that would have never happened on the big screen.
Yeah, I really like how this adds to what the Batman set up. And in a way, like, I'm sure it's a hot take, but other people will have this opinion, I think. I think I appreciate the Penguin more than the Batman. It builds on what the Batman set up, but I think I really love spending these 8 hours to really get deep with the character work, not just with Penguin, but also with Sophia and with Vic, two characters who we didn't even know beforehand. And now we care so much about these characters. Like, the next time we see Sophia, we're all gonna, like clap and scream and cheer because we'll be so excited to see her again. And she's not even the title character, but for me, she was like the best part of the series.
That leads me to my next question. Who was your favorite character introduced in the series? And I'll let y'all go first, so go ahead.
Vic.
Oh, damn it. It's a very hard question because when you guys were talking about the other iterations of the Penguin, I'm just gonna quickly go back there for a second. I remember this very good, small, not so popular, maybe right now, and not remembered about enough. Show in live action called Gotham, where we've already got the Penguin, Sophia Falcone, the Falcone family, Maronis, and all that. And I remembered that this show perfectly described the very comic book version of Penguin. Like, it was very different iteration from this one, because Colin Farrell is playing the very serious version of Penguin. Like, there's not much space for comedy there. When it happens, it's occasionally, but in Gotham, it was like a 180 degrees other version of it. And when I think about it, it's like they took the best parts from Gotham, they put them in Penguin, they changed them to be more serious, and it really worked. Because in both of these shows, there's a conflict between Maronis and Falcons, all the criminal gangs, on the crime gangs getting together to fight for the no man's land in Gotham and all that. We're gonna get to it later, but now,
But who was your favorite character, though? The one that introduced in the series. I mean, that's what I want to know. Who was your favorite?
Okay, so I have two that are main characters and one background character, dare I say. Two main characters are definitely Sophia, because she was so charismatic in her own way, and she was very terrifying, and she's the perfect analogy to all the innocent people who get mixed in all those shady schemes of her family or whatever, and she's just a scapegoat for them, and she completely changes from an innocent person to someone who you don't want to meet. And it was very terrifying and very scary to watch. Even if it's a fictional show, it was very, very terrifying. The second person, maybe it's not a popular guess or whatever. It's not Penguin, because Penguin is, he's just his own character, and I don't want to put him in my list because we all liked him, we all love him. But the second person is Johnny Vitti.
Really?
What?
Why?
Okay.
Elaborate,
First of
please.
all, I really love Michael Kelly as an actor.
Fair,
He's a great
fair.
actor. He was amazing in House of Cards and other projects. And when I first saw him, it was like, I know who this guy is. Like, he's another Michael Kelly lo role. And I was so surprised that it was not it. He was very different in a way from his other previous roles, and Johnny Vitti was like a, this guy who wants to be another boss and he wants to kill Luca and take his place, but he's too scared. He just wants to, to take his wife and go away. And just, it was very interesting to see because maybe it's just me, but I don't see that many characters in TV shows anymore. Maybe I'm not watching enough TV shows, but he was a very great character in a way. He was very well written, just like any other character in this show, to be honest. Like, we all love them, and yeah, that's two main characters, and the last one is Captain Bok. He was there for a second, but it's always nice to see him, to see
That
that.
scratchy voice. Yeah.
A plus for unique answers. Wow.
Okay,
That's
thanks.
great. My
Okay.
answer is just Sophia, because I don't think anyone can argue with that. I think I loved her. She totally surprised me the whole show. I mean, there's a point as when you get her the childhood episode with her where I was like, this should be called like Penguin and Sophia or something, because she carries this show maybe even more than Penguin does sometimes. By the end, it really becomes a Penguin show, but especially in the early season, I was like, my favorite parts of this show are without the Penguin. My favorite parts are when it's just on Sophia. So I just love that character. Anthony, what about you?
Well, you guys aren't going to believe it, but Vic was hands down my favorite character. I
Thank
mean,
you.
yeah, I know, I was going to make the joke, but you beat me to it. Easily. To see such an arc in a character, and he had a good amount of screen time, but he didn't spend like a lot of time in there, and they made every moment with him absolutely worth it. He went from trying to, well, they were stealing rims, stealing tires off of the car, to scared, stuttery. And I think back to that scene where him and Oz are at that restaurant and he's ordering food and the waiter finishes the sentence for him and Oz is like, no, let him finish. And that's when he starts to feel a little bit more empowered. And then he leaves his girlfriend at the bus stop to go save Oz's life and runs out. And then well, I think that's the one that's right before the time jump or whatever.
Yeah, I think
And
so.
when we get to the
Yeah.
time jump, you can see the confidence, the machinations in his head are just going. He knows how to operate. He's getting it done. He's going around with the money. He's getting the pickups. He's still driving and everything. Just an incredible character from start to finish. That's why I was so devastated when he died at the end.
Yeah.
But I could tell it was coming. It was, I would, I don't want to, there was nothing to say. It was obvious, but it just felt like they made you almost enamored with the character just so that when they take him out, it was like really cutting the legs out from under you. So that was great, and great performance from Renzi Feliz. Just great job from that kid. My God, he was
What
great.
wasn't he in Runaways?
He was in Runaways. Yes, he
Okay.
was.
So that's where I remember him from.
I knew he would probably die, but I kept thinking like, what is his role beyond the show? Like, if he could stay, because I wanted him to stay, and I kept thinking like, where does he fit into this world of Gotham? I was trying to imagine futures for him, but
Now you don't have to.
characters, thank you,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, no,
Characters
I'm
are to worry.
devastated too. The moment that he said, "We're family," I'm like, "Oh,
Oh,
you're about to die, bro. You're
R.I.P.
dead." He killed his brothers. He killed his brothers. I mean, it's not, what's a person who's not actually related to him that he was going to kill anyway to begin with when they first met?
It's not like it's Fast
So,
and Furious where family
right.
matters.
Yeah.
You guys can
So
fact check me. Are there kind of birds that kill their family members to survive in the nest? Is that a thing that some birds do or other animals?
birds will
For
push
sure.
their little ones out of the nest, and if they don't survive, then that's just it, survival of the fittest. That's more of a nature thing rather than a intentional thing. But like, if they don't fly, they don't fly, then you don't need to survive. But I see where you're going with that, and I like that. Obviously Colin was great, Kristen was great, Renzi was great. Do you think there's maybe some nominations for these performances in this show? I feel like
Definitely.
Kristen is like a lock in. She was incredible as Sophia. Like, that was powerhouse. Because I've only ever seen her one other thing, and that was How I Met Your Mother. I'm like, so I
Hey,
didn't
don't spoil it
know.
for me. Don't
No,
spoil it for me.
but like, I didn't know. I'm like, they got
I've
Tracy from
also
How I Met Your Mother, like, how are they going to handle this? This is a very serious role in TV show. Like, and then I found out she was in an episode of Sopranos. Very small
Oh
role, but she
wow.
was actually in the Sopranos.
I know her voice because she was on the Venture Bros. She plays the daughter of a gangster, kind of like the
Oh.
Kingpin character. So I could kind of see the connections, but in that show, she's like a young girl, kind of younger. I want to mention, besides the actors, I think the prosthetics and the costume design and the makeup prosthetics costume, I think they should get Emmy nominations too, I think.
The
Especially if, like,
cinematography was also great in this
yeah.
show. There's so many levels to how nice they just kept that level from the Batman right there.
Yeah. Vic, what about
Yeah.
you for Emmy
Yeah, I
nominations?
think definitely Colin and Christine, yeah. Definitely they are a lock-in. Especially now that the Emmy Academy is more positive towards superhero projects. Yeah. But I know Christine from Palm Springs. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
I have
It's
not.
a very good comedy movie with her, Andy
Andy
Samberg,
Samberg and somebody
with
else.
J.K. Simmons,
Oh
and
wow.
with our new favorite Superman in it.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I hope to see Renzi do more stuff. He was really great in the show. And now that he's not going to be in season two or Batman part two, he can do more stuff. But what was y'all's favorite part of the show? I know that's such a big thing, but was there anything that really stood out to you in the show? I'd say if anything really stood out to me was the scene where they have Sophia go through Arkham, where they show like all the things that she goes through, like, oh, it's just 6 months. 6 months turns into 10 years. And how they, mock her, ridicule her, that scary scene with that crazy chick. Just, my God, that scene easily had my jaw on the floor when she takes her out. I'm like, she just killed her.
That whole episode was spectacular.
It really was.
It's hard to pick a favorite. Like in my head, I'm just going through like all the most shocking moments. Like when he kills his brothers, like you said, when Sophia kills her family, that was
Yeah.
pretty shocking.
That was a really good scene too.
And strangely, even at the beginning in episode one, when you see Penguin's feet and you see his disability, because that's not something I ever thought about before. And the fact that he's had that his whole life, and I was like, this adds like an extra layer to the character that we've never seen before with Penguin, and it adds a like, kind of you almost empathize with him a little bit.
They
You
made it
know what I
interesting where they were on the train,
mean?
and then Vic's like, here's the disabled seat. And he's like, I don't need that. Like, that was
That was
a
some
plus
power
on
shit.
that. Yeah.
I'm gonna say my favorite part of the show is I know it will sound weird, but it's how it feels disconnected from the Batman. Like it could be its own separate thing, and it still works pretty well. Like there's a sort of small mention of Riddler, his plan, how it worked out. There's a small cameo from Bella Real, and like that's it. It's only, the whole point of this show is to mention the tragedy, Vic's tragedy, to see how his family died from Riddler's plan, and then we just go through Penguin to us, and we just see him taking on the whole mafia, the whole city, gangsters and whatever, and it's basically the show about survival when you think about it.
Related to that point, do you guys think they should have had a little more Batman in it? Should have been a little more connected to the movie?
I have that question saved towards the end. Let's pin that one
Let's
just
pick
for
it up
now,
later.
because I know we're going to talk about that for a minute, so I want to put it towards the end. But one other thing, I haven't really seen much chatter, but it was really awesome of Penguin to use his, persuasive abilities to bring restore power to what was it, Crown Point was the name of the area. I mean, that was like his moment to be similar to I forget the gangster's name, the one that he talks to Alberto about in the first episode. But you know who I'm talking
The
about,
one
right?
who appeared in the flashbacks.
The one that appeared in the flashbacks, correct. What was his name? Was it Rush? No, it's not Rush, sorry. Man, I cannot remember the name now. But it was, man. Such a bad time to forget that name.
It's okay.
Rex Calabrese.
Rex Calabrese, that's right, that's the one.
Good
So
job.
he, in the first episode, he talks to Alberto, kind of gushes about him, like he wants to be remembered by him or like him in the way that they did for him. And he has that opportunity and takes it and restores power to Crown Point and kind of makes a bid for showing that there is a slightly softer side to himself rather than just being a gangster all the time. But I haven't seen much chatter on that one. I was surprised that nobody said, hey, look, he actually did something kind of good. Did he use a crappy way to do it in the form of blackmail? Sure, but I mean, how else was he going to make it happen? And he made it happen quick too.
And it's a perfect, I'm gonna add something. It's a perfect moment. It's a perfect scene to show that he's getting weak when you think about it. He's thinking about Vic, he's thinking about his mother, which in the end he explains they are all his weaknesses. So he did it for them, not for himself, for them. And in the end, that's why he killed Vic and kept his mother safe in a way, whatever. But yeah, you see these small moments of weakness in him, and in the end, you understand why he disconnects from everything that can hurt him.
I really like how they show all these sides to his character, but they feel unified. It feels like synthesized as one character, even though he's so nuanced, and you see all these different sides and his past and his present, and you see, like, even towards Vic, he has all these conflicted emotions, but it feels cohesive. It feels like it's unified as one character, just very complicated character. And like Vic said, like a dynamic character who's kind of evolving over the show.
Well, they really explored a lot throughout these episodes. I appreciate the hour-long-ish runtimes on each of them, and there was a lot explored. But to the next thing, was there anything you didn't like about the show?
I have a stupid one, but to be honest, this is my biggest criticism of the show.
Go for it.
Colin Farrell's prosthetic chin never had realistic stubble. Even when he's been like in prisoner like overnight, his eyes look shit, his hair looks terrible, his makeup, everything looks terrible, but he's clean shaven on
You think it
his
might have
fake
to
chin.
do the scarring? Because he does have the scarring. Scarring sometimes prevent hair from growing. But
I
I
don't
see
know,
what you're
like
saying.
the whole chin, I'm like, come on, give me a little bit of stubble. Give me just a little bit. That's it. That's my only criticism of the entire show.
I don't necessarily agree, but from some of what I'd spoke to my friends, a lot of them didn't like the way that Salvatore Moroni died.
Oh, yeah.
Because what was it, a heart attack or something from the stress of the moment that he just went out? I mean, I get it. You kind of want the dude that's so powerful to go out in a better way,
That's life.
but exactly. I was like, it's such a situation where, like, oh my God, everything hit the fan so hard that his body couldn't keep up and he passed right there on the spot. That's about, and it's not even that bad of a criticism. Like, I get where they're coming from. I don't even have anything against it.
It's just a small thing. Like, my biggest criticism is also what I liked, because not enough connection to the Batman. Like, I know I sound like a crazy man. I like no connection to the Batman, and I didn't like this no connection to the Batman. It's like this. There's a small conflict in me that could have been resolved by at least putting something more, at least showing this bat signal, not at the end of the episode, but maybe in the middle of the season, like in the third or fourth episode, when something happened, or when the Crown Point blown up.
Explosion.
Yeah, when
I
the
think
explosion happened.
maybe they could have mentioned Batman a little bit more, like reference, like, because you imagine these criminals, they should be in fear of Batman, right? Shouldn't they be scared of, like, so maybe mention, like, oh, watching us, or something like that. But you almost forget that Batman's in this whole universe.
Like I said, we got a lot to explore on that one, so we're gonna save it for the end.
Yeah,
I do have one
especially.
thing I don't like. Now that I think about it, and it's not even like that bad. I just hate that they killed Vic. I'm sad about it, but I get it. It is totally in line with everything that's happening. I liked him so much. I didn't want him to die.
Yeah, so there's one thing I remember that, to me, there wasn't enough of Falcone. Like, he
Oh.
appeared just for some scenes and that's it. And I would really love to see more of his relationship with Sofia and Alberto. And maybe to see when they were kids, when they started to grow up, and when they were getting out into the world. And all we saw was when their mother died, because he killed her, and when he told Sofia she's crazy,
Yeah.
and the dinner scene, and that's it, if I
Well,
remember correctly.
since you brought up Falcone, I'm going to skip the question I have to the next one since it links up. But how do you guys feel about the recast of Mark Strong as Falcone? Remember, there was at first it was a scheduling issue, but then John Turturro said he didn't want to do it because he felt it was too violent, even though he literally choked someone in the Batman. But how do y'all feel about the recast? Do you think Mark Strong was good, sufficient enough? Did it feel kind of out of place?
I was totally fine with it.
Yeah.
Because he's such a great actor. It's not like they're taking a step down for budget, you know. No, he's a
Right.
great actor. And he looks a little bit stronger and healthier than John Turturro did. So it kind of fits that even you can follow his evolution, kind of like how did he go from this Mark Strong to that John Turturro? And especially like with the mustache, with the hair, with the glasses, like it fits. Also, when was the last time you saw Mark Strong with hair?
Oh my God.
Right? I almost didn't recognize him.
Wow.
Right?
I didn't even consider that.
I
No,
have
for
to
me,
Google it
it's
right
like,
now.
wait, didn't he have hair in Kingsman?
I have no idea. I don't
Oh yeah,
remember.
maybe. In the
But
flashbacks in the first movie, maybe.
I think Mark Strong was an excellent choice,
Yeah.
in lieu of not being able to get John for the show. And especially since it wasn't like he was in every episode for half an hour. He was there for a cumulative half hour total between all his appearances. I like how they expanded on the whole hangman thing. You know, they kind of did that. Is he not? Could it be Sophia? Could it not be? That was a really cool tease throughout the show of like kind of keeping you on your toes whether or not it was him. But of course, I was thinking back to the show. I'm like, well, he already tried killing his own other daughter. It has to be him.
I'm pretty sure it was him.
Right. But like they try to keep it semi-ambiguous, but you could tell by the time that that reporter came up to Sophia that it's like, oh, it was definitely him. And then you see the mom hanging. You're like, okay, yeah, this, if you have any doubts, then you must be blind and deaf at the same time to not get this one.
Yeah, it was very weird. But when it comes to Mark Strong and to the recast, I mean, I was fine with it when I heard it will be for flashbacks, because John Turturro
Yeah.
is not a young guy, but the biggest dissonance for me is that they're just a few years apart between them.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very weird thing, but Mark Strong with hair, with mustache, he looked really young, like in his 30s or something, but it doesn't matter. When it was for flashbacks, I mean, I was really okay with that. Like, it's fine, it's a common thing to do, like, no problem. But when it was getting closer and closer to the current times in it, it was getting a little weird, especially that when they show that Falcone died, they didn't put the picture of John Turturro, so John Turturro's Falcone, they put Mark Strong's. But it's like, it's just a small thing that I think not many people care about. When it comes to the character and to the role and to the acting, I think that in some ways Mark Strong played Falcone better than Turturro. Like, especially when it comes to the to scaring people, to showing that,
Intimidation scenes?
yeah, intimidation scenes,
Definitely,
when he's
definitely.
acting too calm, like he's too calm, and it was very scary. Like he was a very stoic person, and the way that he was saying to Sophia that she's crazy, it almost felt like he convinced us that she's crazy. Like, I don't know how to describe it in another way. But I love Turturro's Falcon. Like, Turturro is a great actor and he played this role well. Especially that, you know, I know him from a more comedic roles,
For sure.
especially in Transformers. And when he was cast as Falcon, it was like, okay, some shit is going on. Like, I'm in. And he played his part well. Mark Strong played his part well. I just hope that we get to see Turturro's Falcon again in more flashbacks or whatever, or maybe just, you know, to show two versions on the screen when it comes to the maybe like 2 3 years before Batman, and we see Turturro and Mark Strong is the Falcon
Kind of
that.
like how Marvel had two actors for Howard Stark, right?
Yeah,
Depending on the
exactly.
age. I
Yeah.
will say, Anthony will be upset, but I will say this is another point where they separate from the movie, because you're like, this is the show Falcone and this is the movie Falcone, and it this is another thing where it feels like they've separated a little bit, where you almost forget that this is still connected to that same movie universe because they recast the actor, and now it feels like, you know, it doesn't feel as cohesive in that small element.
Yeah, I mean, that's also what I don't like about sequels to the movies in the form of a show. Because when I think about, when I see a successful movie and I hear that someone is trying to do a TV show spin-off or a continuation of this movie, I immediately think about lower budget, not so great actors in a way, less popular at least, worse effects and worse story, and just trying to take your money away. And that's something that I experienced way too many times, and at
I was
least.
gonna say, enough about the CW.
Oh, that's a low blow.
Okay.
But you ain't wrong. Man, he went for the belt, below the belt.
I love Superman and
Ouch.
Lois. Superman and Lois is innocent.
Whew.
At least I wasn't talking about CW, so that's okay.
I'm kidding.
Not intentionally, but you kind of were.
Okay, come on.
Sorry, had to do it. Had to do it. For those who don't know, Vic is a huge fan of the CW universe as a whole. He loves The Flash. He loves some of the other series. Me, I don't do that. I didn't even spend time with it. I got better things to do, like watch paint dry.
Yeah, Red is like, we don't do that here.
No.
Yeah, but going to Maritim. So Penguin felt like a sort of ripoff for a second there, but it perfectly made his own way, you know, to be respectable part of this DC universe, especially that even Matt Reeves said himself said that they're not gonna do things to make people think this is the same universe when it isn't. Because it is. It is the same universe, and they're doing everything to keep the story the same, to keep the flow of it, and I love it. Especially that he proved it's like two for two. He proved that Batman can be very, very good project when it's separated again from the shared universe, and Penguin can be amazing when it's focused on the mob, gangster, and all that stuff.
I want to ask, how involved do you think Matt Reeves was? Because when you look at the credits for the show, it was completely created by Lauren LeFranc. I think she's like the showrunner, writer, right?
Pretty much.
Do you think Matt Reeves, is this like, how involved do you think he was creatively? Do you think he was pretty hands-off, or is this like part of his great vision?
I think he was giving notes, he was providing notes, and he was like a consultant, because it's still his universe. So he had to, you know, make sure that, and he also maybe he gave them the plans for the Batman 2 that he has, so they didn't do anything to make his story for the Batman to be different than it already is.
He was involved in supervising the writing, and he was very hands-on in hiring the creative team. So he did have a lot to do with it, but I don't think he was there like day to day.
Yeah,
But
exactly.
I'm sure whenever they weren't sure about something, they probably gave him a ring, worked with him on stuff, and went from there. They wanted it to do this as a film originally.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The studio wanted to do that. They're like, let's make a sequel film. And he's like, yeah, let's kind of do this. So, God bless you, Matt Reeves. I hope everything good in life happens to you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I don't know about a Penguin movie, man. I don't know.
Exactly. And think about it. Everything that we experienced, could you imagine condensing that down to
2 and
2 hours
a
or
half,
so?
maybe.
Well, yeah, well, we don't know. I mean, Batman was 3 hours, but you know, condensing all those events. And then there was also mention of some of the events that happened in the show were supposed to be like essentially the first act of the Batman sequel.
Oh,
And I'm so
really?
grateful they didn't
Okay.
do that, because again, imagine condensing that into 30, 40 minutes while you also have to bring in Batman and whatever else they have planned for it. This really breathed from start to finish. It had a clear goal in mind, it set it out, and it hit the mark every part of the way. I'm just really, really satisfied with the outcome and how they managed to, because right now, I hate to say it, but HBO, Warner Brothers, whatever you want to call them, they're a bit of a mess, at least outside of DC Studios, whenever we get Creature Commandos and the rest of all that. But this is almost nothing short of a miracle that it not just happened, but it happened so well and so quickly, because they were filming it last year. They had to pause of the strikes. They finished in February of this year, and we're in November, and it just finished. I mean, that's a quick turnaround, and the show looks great. Like, you can tell it wasn't like rushed out the door, like, here, just get it on a screen. They, whatever they did, that process needs to be studied and put in film classes, because they did an incredible job.
So the strikes happened in the middle of the filming?
Towards the end.
Wow, yeah, you can't tell at all. Wow.
Exactly.
I mean, I think it's also thanks to James Gunn. Not mainly, but partially,
I don't,
because
not that I want
he.
to take away credit from him, but I don't think he was just that involved in it. I'm sure he gave
Yeah,
like some thumbs up
I'm
and
not
write-offs.
involved in it, creatively or whatever, but we know that he wants every project to look as best as it can. And since he's the head of DC with Peter Safran, I think they may have given people notes that like take as much time as you want, but make this look good. And that's it. Yeah. And
So
that's
Vic, you
good.
gave me this question yesterday, and you're going to answer it first because it was yours. But you said, could they have expanded a little more on the gang wars and the No Man's Land, aka splitting Gotham into districts for each gang? So.
Okay, so now we're going to the stuff that's gonna be connecting to another question, but first this. Okay, so what I expected from this after first Batman was the initially introducing the No Man's Land, which is, if some people don't know, it's when Gotham was destroyed by an earthquake in comics, and was destroyed by a flood in the movie, and gang wars happened and various crime syndicates splitted Gotham parts between themselves, and they partially did it in a mentioned earlier Gotham TV show, when one district belonged to Mr. Freeze, one to Riddler, one to Penguin, one to Dr. Pig, and all that, and one to Firefly. So various psychos controlled different parts of Gotham, and Batman had to stop them. And it partially happened here because we have triads, we have Sullivans, am I right? And we have Falcons or Gigantes, we have Maronis, and it's partially happened, it's partially established already. So I wanted to see this explored a little more to see how maybe Oz goes to another district, and maybe he doesn't feel as safe there as he could feel somewhere else. And that's one thing. And I think that the part of No Man's Land will be explored in Batman 2, so that's for a completely whole different conversation. But I think that even the slightest exploration of the whole gang wars could have been, maybe they could have just given us one more episode,
Yeah,
and that's
like
it.
they introduced towards the end, they introduced all those different gangs and all those people. I have no idea who they are. I would have liked a little bit, I would have liked maybe a little bit more to like at least introduce me. Who are they? Why should I care? They're just random people. I don't know if they even have names.
They're the triads. They do mention them, but I mean, that's forcing you to assume, okay, they're the Chinese triads, but are they actually part of Gotham? Are they connected back to China? Because, you know, the triads is one of the biggest gangs on the planet in real life. But they don't really elaborate enough on it to make me think, oh, okay, you know, this is scary. They kind of seemed middle of the road, because they were scared to take on the Maronis and the Falcones. They were kind of just chilling. They're kind of like, the third option. If you weren't going with either one of those two, you have the triads to go through. And it took what, three or four different alliances between all them to actually take down the Falcones in the end. So what are these guys up to? I mean, we finally see them only to start distributing Bliss. Why do you need them? Only because they're another option so you can go around the Falcones. You know what I'm saying? Like it's just it was so weird that they didn't embellish a little bit on saying like, oh, these guys are have this level of something or whatever. It lacked a little bit, but I also can understand that you're trying not to throw too many things at people at once, but they should have on this particular topic. As far as No Man's Land, my thoughts are at least they took a moment to show bits and pieces of the city after the events, and they also used a little bit of time to show what happened to Vic's family. But I can understand why they kind of paused on that. They probably want to save that more for the movies.
Maybe. But Batman 2 is going to come out like 4 years, over 4 years after. So I wonder how directly it'll connect to the first movie, or maybe it'll just be a standalone story.
I do wonder.
I think it will happen a few weeks after the
Because I'll be
Penguin.
honest, I barely remember that first movie already. And imagine another 2 more years. My God, my memory, I'm getting old.
I rewatched it on Halloween.
I guess it's
Nice.
a good Halloween watch.
Yeah, it's a very good Halloween movie. Yeah,
So
but yeah.
the Penguin picks up 1 week after the show, and then events happen, and then there's a time jump.
After the
So at
movie.
this point, what's that?
You said after the show, after the movie.
After the
Sorry.
movie, yes.
Sorry, I had.
So it's 1 week after the movie, and then so we're what in mid-November or whatever, but then we have another time jump. And I'm
What's the
just gonna
second time jump?
well, so Batman ends, Gotham floods,
After the election.
Penguin starts 1 week after, Bella Ra's been in charge for a little bit, and then they get the Bliss, and then there's the time skip, and they've been producing Bliss and selling it. They don't really say how long. I'm just going to assume 6 months just to throw a number
Maybe
out there.
less because
Maybe,
it
maybe.
picks
I don't
up
know.
in winter, so
Okay, so it could be as soon as like February or something if it's still cold, right? Assuming. So now I'm wondering from this show to the sequel, how far that's going to go,
The winter.
right? Or if it's going to pick back up in the next or in the summer or something. I mean, we don't know. Like that's kind of the thing. But to move along to the next thing, because it's definitely a big thing that happened there in the last episode. Sophia's back in Arkham, right? And she's in there, and surprisingly, Rush walks back in. I guess he got his job back because he quit at some point. M must be nice to just walk in and say, I'm working here again.
Okay,
Because
I'm just gonna quickly interrupt for a second. Like, who the fuck is this guy? What's his point? I
he's
know
a simp.
he's a shades from Luke Cage, but that's it.
Yeah.
Like,
No, he's just a dude who fell in love with a crazy girl who's actually not crazy.
I
So,
forgot about him.
he walks in, has a pile of letters, and he goes, "Hey, I've got something special from you, for you, sorry." And you see it's a black envelope, which I thought was a really nice detail. It's from your sister. Of course, it doesn't take much to realize, "Hey, it's Selena." They even played her theme there. I don't know if you guys heard it, but
Didn't notice. I didn't
they played
notice.
the Catwoman theme very lightly, but you could hear it if you had the volume up real high, like I do. So, where do you think, or what do you think is going to happen with Selena and Sophia? Because she reached out. She's aware of her sister's, I'm sure she knows what happened at this point, that she's killed all the Falcones, that she's obviously she knows she's back in Arkham because she got the letter delivered there somehow. So what do you think is going to happen in the future with those two?
I'm really excited to see. The easy answer is to say, oh, they have a team up, but I would love
No.
to see them have their own kind of like antagonistic conflict, I guess, because they both have such strong personalities. Like, you either they're going to like fall in love and be like best friends, or they're just going to keep fighting. And I hope they fight because I'd like to see the sparks.
What I could see happening, if you just gave me a great idea on the spot, is that Selena's gonna resent Sophia for having a more privileged lifestyle because, you know, Selena and her mom had to struggle for money. Selena had to work her butt off doing all sorts of things, even including stealing and selling drugs to be able to pay rent that she was still behind on, right? Because in the movie, they showed that she's got a couple of outstanding balances and that she's running late on payments. So Selena's stressed out and everything. But I like that idea of them kind of not getting along because of you lived in an ivory tower. I had to fight for scraps, you know. I'm very curious to see the contents of that note, exactly what it says. I'm hoping that that kind of happens. Now, remember in the Batman, a couple of times he goes into Arkham and he talks to Riddler through that glass. My best bet is that they're going to have conversations like that a couple of times.
Yeah, especially that we know Selina is back and Sophia will be a part of the Batman too.
Is that
And
confirmed?
so I think it
I
was
don't.
confirmed already. But okay, if it wasn't, then I think we can easily assume that it will at least be mentioned at
Right.
some point. Yeah, but I mean, when this freaking nobody doctor mentioned Selina and that he said to Sophia that she's her half sister, I was like, okay, I see the spark in Sophia's eye, and she knows that either she will hate her half sister or she will love her because. Just like you mentioned, either Selina will hate her for, you know, trying to destroy this family or whatever when she has the strong hand, when she's the boss and she had everything she wanted, or they will have a connection based on their hate for Falcone.
I think they've let go of that because Sophia changed her name to Gigante and despite her dad. I mean, I think she's moved on because she also went through the trouble of killing the rest of the Falcones and giving away her dad's money and empire and deucing out and saying, I'm good, I'm out of here until she got caught, obviously. But a thing I thought about as well is that Sophia craves a sibling. I mean, you saw how torn up she was when she lost Alberto. So some part of me is going to see her try to fight in any way possible to connect with her half sister because that's the only family she has. And because her half sister also hated her dad, they might find that common ground. But that could also be well balanced with the whole, hey, privileged lifestyle. And knowing Reeves and what he does, this could be probably almost more fascinating than what Batman's going to be doing in the movie. Like that could be like a whole subplot. And as we've been talking, actually, an article got published on TV Line. I have it open.
Right now?
And I know now a few
It got
minutes. Okay.
posted about 2 hours ago, 3 hours ago.
Yeah. Okay.
Um,
What is
but
this?
uh,
About
it's
what Batman will be doing in Batman 2.
well, it said instead of the Penguin season two, is there any talk of a Selina Kyle
Oh.
Catwoman series with Zoe Kravitz that does a similar deep dive? And basically, Casey Bloys, who's the Max CEO and chairman, said, short answer, no. But we've mostly been talking about is there another story with the Penguin, though Reeves needs to get Batman 2 done first. I have to let him get that movie set up and moving, but Matt and Penguin showrunner Lauren LeFranc work really well together. So it sounds like there probably isn't going to be a Catman, Catwoman. Man.
That's
Whew.
it. James Gunn might do Catman.
Yeah. There might. So looks like Catwoman TV show isn't going to happen, but I like to hear what I'm hearing and what I'm liking from what I'm reading is that they're definitely exploring a second season of The Penguin, which was going to be my next question anyway. So if there is a second season, what potential storylines do you think could be pursued? What do you want to see? Hit me with it.
I, like we talked about, I'd like to see, I think, a little bit more with the gangs, maybe. I don't know, because this episode ties everything, the season ties everything up so nicely in that last episode. That finale is like that last shot with like his
Yes.
penthouse and his mom, like trapped, you know, God bless her, trapped in that hospital bed and awake, completely awake, but she can't
Yep.
do anything. Oh my God, it's so devastating. While he's like in this fancy penthouse and he has a great suit, he has his top hat, and like just the thickness of it. It's such a perfect finale. I don't know how you follow up with this, but I guess I'd like to see a little bit more with the crime gangs, and I want to see Penguin get broken after that. Like Because he wins. He wins at the end of the show. And I guess now I want to see him lose.
I think if they do anything is a rematch between him and Sophia, but because I mean he set her up. He put her in the worst position possible. I mean, I would be looking for revenge if someone threw me back in Arkham after I just got out.
But
I
this time,
mean,
she, I think she actually deserved it.
well,
She was
I
pretty cool.
agree. I mean, she killed her whole family with a gas leak. That's insane. That is literally insanity. I feel like we haven't talked about Colin or Penguin himself so much here, so.
I feel that's kind of indicative of it. Like he's great, but the whole show revolves around him, and kind of the whole show is a little bit more interesting than him sometimes.
Sometimes.
It's like we don't have to talk about him to know that he's very good in this role.
Yeah. No, it's a given, but I mean, we haven't talked about like Penguin as a whole. I mean, he's got the purple Maserati and he's doing things and he wants to be a gangster and he wants to show up and he's got Eve Carlo on his side. But what I do want to see a rematch. I want to see him lose. Like you said, that would be great, especially against Sophia because he really screwed her over. And I can imagine, well, obviously not the only ones. He got the Maronis real bad. And also screwed over the Falcones by instigating it to begin with by killing Alberto. I mean, when is this going to catch up to him realistically? That's what a second season should do. It's just seeing him get his ass beat most episodes and get broken mentally and emotionally.
I think
And
what it
his
really
mom's.
depends on is how much does he factor into Batman 2? Is he
Yeah.
just a small side character or is that a big story for him? What do you think?
Do you think, Vic?
I honestly am not sure.
Okay.
Because, in a way, it tries to be this whole important event. And on the other hand, when we think about its meaning to the whole universe, we know there will be much important thing that will happen in the future. So it's kind of like a 50-50. I mean, I think we'll be able to judge it when, and everybody will be able to judge it, including the characters in the show, in the universe, when this whole universe ends. Because it's an unknown at this moment.
Okay. All right. So here's the topic Vin has been waiting for this whole recording because we've almost gotten there, but I really wanted to save it because I know we're going to have so much to talk about it. So I got a couple questions. I'm just going to throw it all as one big paragraph, and I'm probably going to go first on this one. But let's talk about that ending scene. You know, every week I was seeing people talk about how there's no Batman. Where's Batman? What's Batman doing? Why isn't he here? Why aren't people scared of him? But do you think that final shot was enough? You know, in the beginning of the Batman, he has that decent sized monologue where he mentions he can't be everywhere at once. He has to pick and choose exactly what fights he gets into. So, do you think the events of the show were enough to light that bat signal that we finally got to see gloriously and then a snap to black screen? I say yes. I'd say, you know, as much as I really wanted to see him show up earlier, this show was called The Penguin, not Batman Penguin Chronicles. This was about the Penguin. And I think that was just an appropriate amount of Batman to remind you, hey, that guy still exists in this show. I know we've been busy over here with drug dealing and drug making and drug selling and gang wars and corruption, as well as, you know, backstabbing. But at the end of the day, all this sprung from the events of Batman fighting the Riddler. So I think just having the bat signal was more than enough. Would I have liked to have seen an outline with a shot of lightning? Sure, I wouldn't hate that. But what would that have served? Because then the next conversation would have been, well, why didn't they put more of him? Why did we just get that? Because I noticed when the episode where they exploded Crown Point and they kidnapped Penguin, people were like, why isn't he there now? I'm like, well, one thing is he's a creature of the night. You don't really see him operate that. I mean, yes, he did operate during the day a couple of times, but his thing is kind of going out at night and taking care of business. So there was many opportunities for him to be there. But I don't know. Perhaps it's just that I really enjoyed Colin Farrell and Kristen so much that I didn't mind that they were not around for it all.
Yeah, in my opinion, I think, I don't know if this is a hot take. I think I didn't like the light because it's like, it's kind of superficial. Like, if this is Gotham, this is the Batman universe, I want to feel that Batman's here. Like I was saying, like, I want to hear them talking about, like, the Batman's watching, or just a little bit of atmosphere so that I can feel that this is, that there is Batman around any corner. Not, I don't have to see him. I don't have to see an outline either, but I want them to like at least feel that there's some repercussions from that the Batman has appeared. He's a dangerous character for these villains or something. When you just see a little bat signal, I don't know, it's kind of like candy for fans. And like it's candy, but I wanted something a little, I wanted to feel something. I don't want just a little like, I don't know. Does that make sense?
No, I totally get it. And
Yeah.
it's something I've been thinking about for a few weeks now, because part of my thought was this, is that he doesn't come out lightly. He comes out for things when he needs to be there. And I've seen that same topic brought up. It's like, well, why aren't they talking about the bat? Why aren't they mentioning the bat? Shouldn't they be scared of the bat? Well, yes, but right now the city is in a crazy position after having such a huge event happen. So I think the criminals feel a little bit more empowered at the moment because he's dealing with, I guess, a greater conflict in a sense. It was just, I'm having a hard time describing exactly what I'm thinking, but it essentially comes down to they're not so scared of him because they know everything's in disarray and that there's no way in hell that he could possibly
So they
do
don't
it all.
respect him.
Essentially, is what I'm
Okay.
saying. Because at this point, they're like, he definitely has other things going on. So I'm really excited to see what he's been up to in the second movie, because that'll definitely, at least in my opinion, it should highlight or explain a little bit more of that absence. But you're right. Could there have been more mentions? Absolutely, but there has to be some good narrative reason for as to why they didn't. And
Yeah.
I'm sure we're going to get an answer on that.
Yeah. But like I don't need it. Like I think the show was so strong, it's fine without it. But just if the question is like how many Batman connections, and so I guess that's what
Who
I would have preferred.
do you think lit it? Jim Gordon? I
Jake, what
mean,
do you
I can't.
think?
Maybe. I mean, I'm gonna start with because you mentioned the article about the possible shows, and I'm gonna mention what Matt Reeves said about the Batman 2 and what Batman been up to. And he said that Batman will be finding it very hard to be Batman in the sequel because he will blame himself for the city's flooding, and he'll be blaming himself for everything that happened, mainly because he appeared. And then people tried to take his image as his own and to use it.
So he's gonna be like Batman no more. This will be like Spider-Man 2. He gives up the.
Maybe, yeah. I think it will be a similar dissonance, but he'll initially still be Batman, but he'll have this inner conflict of, do I really have to be Batman anymore? Should I be Batman? And I think to going to your question, who lit it? And I think it may be Gordon because he got promoted now, and we already saw the captain back. So yeah, so maybe now that he's another respectable figure, I mean Batman, but he isn't considered a menace or a someone who breaks the law anymore, at least, the big laws, important ones. I think that it either could have been Jim or maybe Ramirez or who knows. Like, I really want to see this explored. And just like you said, Vin, and you read said that including more Batman would lead to questions focusing on why wasn't Batman in this show? Why wasn't more of him in this? Instead on focusing on how well this show was without Batman. And that you can do
Absolutely.
a good show without including Batman, without using Batman or showing him. You just have to mention that he's there. And that's it. And that works, especially now that, if I remember correctly, there was a show about GCPD in the works that was later changed to Arkham or the other way
Yeah,
around.
it was one of those that was in development, but this is honestly the only show that was able to come out of it. So,
Yeah, now we know there's a Clayface project in the works,
Is that confirmed
and
also?
these are, I would take these as rumors,
So,
sorry.
okay.
Yeah, let's just
Okay. Yeah, but since you mentioned Eva Carlo, I think Basil Carlo is the great connection to it. So that's like a this huge Easter egg that we can use as a possible theory that this may be one of the projects or whatever. Since it's not confirmed, I'm not gonna elaborate on it more. But
The name of Penguin's his lady friend, what was her last name? Do you remember?
Carlo.
Carlo. Yeah, okay. Okay, that's who you're
Yeah, her
talking
name
about.
is Eve Carlo.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
right. That's right.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned it.
Okay.
Yeah, but this shows like this show, yes, shows like this show. Yeah, shows like this prove that you can have a spin-off about a character and not include the main character who would bring even more interest and still make it a quality show that people will love, will watch, and will talk about. Even if it's for a it started a month ago. Yeah, so for 2 months straight, and people will just wait to watch the next episode. I think I read something. It may be not a it may not be a confirmed data, but it proved that every time Penguin aired its following episodes, the more people went to buy the Max subscription to watch it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the viewership actually climbed for a little bit. It did well. It did well
Yeah.
by metrics that we're looking at performance-wise. This show is a success.
Yeah,
Yeah,
definitely. And it's
even
also.
my friends who don't follow comic book stuff at all, they're talking about this show.
Yep.
And like in this day and age with all this like super saturation, like that's pretty remarkable when so many people have like checked out of the MCU. They've checked out of like all this pop stuff. But then like, hey, have you heard about the Penguin? So that's pretty cool.
I've had so many people ask me, like, have you been watching Penguin? I'm like, yeah, I've been watching in advance. Or like, should I watch it? I'm like, do you like crime shows? Yeah. And then you need to get on it. Just watch the Batman. Okay. And a lot of people haven't. I had about three people come up to me and said they started watching the Penguin, but they hadn't seen the Batman. And I'm like, well, pump the brakes, go back and watch the Batman. And then they came back to me like, oh my God, I can't believe I didn't watch that, you know? And I get it, because 2022 was just kind of a weird year with a lot going on. And I get it. There's
And
just so
we were
much
still
out
coming
there.
back from COVID. People still weren't going to the movies completely.
Exactly. Exactly. So
Those three years were really weird.
it's really been 4 years, my God.
Almost
But
five. Believe it
don't
or
say it.
not.
Don't say it.
No, we're
Don't
still in
say
2024. Come on.
it.
Yeah, but just like you mentioned, I also want to add it that my friends at work who know that I'm writing it, when the first episode came out, they immediately came to me and asked, "Have you watched it? Is it good? What happens in the end?" Like, I didn't get the episodes, but come on, I'm gonna watch it either way. And just like you mentioned, people watch it without watching Batman, but I think that's also good because this show is so well written that it perfectly points out what happened in the movie, so you don't have to watch it in order to understand the outcome and everything that happened. And you can easily go back and watch the Batman and still be surprised and understand everything. And I think that's the perfect quid pro quo between those shows, that they all give each other everything. That like Batman gives Penguin the amazing story, amazing possible outcomes, and continuing the things, the plots that the sequel of the Batman couldn't continue because there wouldn't be enough place. And Penguin gives Batman back something that brings the quality of the movie even higher, at least to me. Like I loved Batman, but thanks to Penguin, I love Batman even more because those two projects just perfectly fulfill themselves, and I think that it will be exactly what happens with the Batman 2. Like Penguin will gain the Batman even more hype because the first movie was a success and the show is success. It will just boost the hype, and if the season 2 comes out, it will inevitably be exactly the same thing, at least in my opinion. But
I
I
think the
think that's
big test will be how much does Batman 2 build on the Penguin? How essential is this show for Batman 2? I think that's a bigger test, but we'll have to see.
I do hope, like how drops were kind of important in the Batman, I hope Bliss is also equally important
Exactly.
or part of it. I mean, there's no way they're not going to reference that and mention it. That has to come up. I mean, that's what he deals with. So I'm very, I was already excited, but this show really just kind of like makes me want to get knocked out and wake up 2 years from now so that I can just watch the sequel and then move on with my life. I mean, like, I'm considering it. If I can make it happen, I will.
If you
Because
can
I,
knock yourself out for 2 years,
so I can just wake up and then when I wake
what?
up, boom, the Batman 2.
And then
Like,
go to
that's how.
sleep again, watch the Penguin season 2, go back to sleep again, Batman 3.
That's all you need in
Exactly.
life.
I
Go
don't
look,
need
man.
it.
I know a guy, okay? I know a guy.
Oh my
I can
God.
help you.
Is he the Penguin?
That's
Or
crazy, dude.
is he a fry from Futurama?
That's a thought. All right. Well, unfortunately, we're running out of time, but we'd love to continue the conversation. Check us out at thecosmiccircus.com, where Vic has written a full season review and I wrote a premiere review. But at this point, if you're this far deep into the podcast, then you've probably seen them.
I
I
hope
want to
so.
mention also on YouTube, John and I did a mid-season check-in. So if you check out the Cosmic Circus YouTube, we have a little like a 30-minute chat about it or something. We also talked about Agatha in the same episode.
Excellent. You should definitely check those out. You can find us on Twitter and other social medias at My Cosmic Circus. Thank you so much for tuning into the Cosmic Circle. Again, my name is Anthony Flagg. You can find me on Twitter at Rodova underscore. Gentlemen, before we leave, where can people find you?
My name is Vin. You can find me on Twitter at Vin Writes Words. Also on the Cosmic Circus YouTube, I'll have Gladiator 2 instant reaction later this weekend. Next week, more Gladiator. And we have a couple things coming, a lot of stuff coming in December. So stay tuned for that.
We also have Superman and Lois coming as well.
For sure.
I'm starting to cry.
And Vic,
No.
where can
Three
people find
episodes
you?
remaining. You can find me on Twitter at ErdogSalki. You can find me on Blue Sky at Erdrex, and you can read my articles. I'd really appreciate it.
Thanks, gentlemen. Y'all have a great evening.
You too,
Stay
man.
butt-tastic.
Bye.